continue in Philippians chapter 3. We're going to have, including this one, four more messages in the book of Philippians on Sunday mornings. And I've switched our study of the Sermon on the Mount to the evenings for now. When we finish Philippians, then we'll continue on, probably in both services, finishing up the Sermon on the Mount, and then move on from there as I continue to pray about what the Lord would have me to bring. I have a lot of ideas, but I just have to get final approval from the Lord on that. But we've still got a while here, and the passage this morning, obviously, is inspirational. Paul meant it to be that way, but it's also convicting, and it's something that we all need to hear. Because if you'll remember, and you were listening last week, I'm sure you were, we were talking, Paul was explaining his resume and all that he had done from his standpoint and from a Jewish standpoint. He had the ultimate Jewish resume. He had accomplished all the things that he needed to. He was at the peak of his game and successful in what he was doing, and the people around him were in approval. He was on the rise, moving up, not the corporate ladder, but the religious corporate ladder in a way. And Jesus, again, miraculously, directly confronted Paul and said, Paul, this isn't the right way. Turn. And Paul accepted and put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And everything changed. And he said, I threw all that stuff behind. It doesn't matter to me anymore. And now I pursue knowing Jesus Christ. I have His righteousness. I don't have to pursue my own anymore. I wasted so much time pursuing my own righteousness. I have Jesus' righteousness now. And so I want to continue to know Him better. And also, as I go through sufferings that I know that we're going to have, it's okay. Because I remember in the end, Jesus' resurrection power is also going to resurrect my body and make it new. And we'll spend eternity with Him. And that's worth all the suffering. Knowing Jesus is worth all the suffering that I have to go through. Now, we heard that, and hopefully our spirits resonated, but we have to be honest sometimes. When we hear Paul talk like this, it almost sounds sometimes like he's a super Christian. When I was a child and in my teenage years, I tended to look upon people that were much more spiritually mature that would talk this way or talk about how much they would read God's Word and how dedicated they were toward following God. And I almost looked at them like super Christians, like they were on another level that I could never attain to. Like, wow, that's just, I mean, God may have me do something for Him some way, but obviously there's a level of spiritual maturity that some people somehow get that I will never get because I could never talk like that and be like that. And I think Paul understands that because he comes back in verse 13 or verse 12 of chapter 3. And he says, after reminding you of all these things, I want you to understand that we're all still a work in progress. None of us have arrived yet. Paul says, even myself, I still have. At this point in Paul's life, I still have part of the race to go. And Paul says, you do too. I don't want you to think that I've obtained or apprehended or that I have arrived, because God's still working in my life too. But he says there is a mark of spiritual maturity that I have that you need to have. And that's what he's going to talk about here. And that is looking beyond, getting beyond the things in our past and moving forward, pressing on in the race to the finish line. Let's read this passage together, then we'll pray. Starting at verse 12 of chapter 3, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Father, help us to understand your word today. Help it to encourage us, but also convict us. Lord, we have all in this room had times where we've been close to giving up, where things seemed too strenuous, where our sin weighed too heavy upon us, or other situations in our life have come up, and they've just made us weary. Help us to be reminded, even from Paul's example today, that we need to keep going, and that Jesus will give us the power to keep going. We don't do this on our own. But help us to resolve to be faithful. Serve you faithfully until our time is over, our race is won, or Jesus returns, in which case we will have the prize, and we look forward to that. All this we ask in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. The title of this message this morning is, Don't Look Back, Press On! Exclamation point. Paul is going to show us here, first of all, in these first few verses, that we must not get distracted in the spiritual race that we're running. And he uses that language, and we'll look at that in just a minute. But verse 12, again, Paul wants to remind the people that he's talking to. Verse 12, let's read, not as though I had already attained or laid hold of, either were made perfect or fully spiritual maturity. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, or again, lay hold of, that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. As Paul's going along here, he wants to remind them that I'm still in the race with you. Now, of course, we know Paul's finished his race in that respect. And so he pressed on and he was faithful. But his words still remind us who are in the race today to keep going, to be faithful. So he's reminding us, and I'm letting you know, as the pastor of this church, that myself and none of us here have arrived yet. We've not obtained, we've not experienced the end of this race yet. We're still in the midst of it. And Paul wants us to know that he hasn't achieved full maturity or also full knowledge of Jesus yet. Because it seems a little vague here. What does he attain to? What is it that he's trying to apprehend? And it seems best as we look back at what he was talking about earlier. Look at verse 10. Go back with me. What is his purpose? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul says, when Jesus turned me around, I started that process of getting to know him more. But there's a lot more I'm still needing to know. And as I mature in my relationship with him, I'm knowing Jesus more, but I'm not there yet. And I'm looking forward to the day when I'll see him face to face and know him even better. But he's also talking about, I believe here, not just knowing Jesus, which is important. And knowing Jesus means that we're constantly in God's word and constantly submitting ourselves in prayer to what God wants us to do and looking for his wisdom. Knowing Jesus so that we can be a better testimony of his character to the world that so desperately needs it. Yes, there's that. But also spiritual maturity in general. Paul says, I still have weaknesses. I still have areas that God's working in my life on. So I haven't arrived. I'm not the super Christian that some of you may think I am. The point of all this I want to make, even at the very beginning of this, is that there are no super Christians. There's no level that only a few attain, like some sort of video game where the guy that does really well in the first five or six levels, he finally attains, but everybody else who's not very good at playing video games, they'll never get to that level, and so why try? But God expects all of us to move ahead, to pursue, to be faithful, and he will do the maturing. It's nothing that we do. As we're faithful, as we're serving Him, God grows us. When I was a child, when I was a teenager, if you had told me that I would be one day a senior pastor at Village Chapel Baptist Church, that would have made me very nervous and anxious. I probably would have had a panic attack because I could never realize, wow, I mean, how do I even attain to that level? Paul says there is no super spiritual level. We're all struggling. You just let Jesus, let the Holy Spirit continue to do His work in you. How can that happen? That very last part of that verse in chapter in verse 12, I may apprehend. That which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And he's saying here, Jesus sacrificed so for us so that we can run sacrificially for Him. How can I keep going and obtain the prize of being with God forever? It's because Jesus first apprehended us. He grabbed a hold of us so that now, through faith in Him, we can attain the end of the race and follow after Him. It's all Jesus' work. Jesus did it all. How can I move on in spiritual maturity? How can I get victory over sins in my life, Pastor Brock, that I've been struggling with for years? How can I really pursue a particular direction in ministry that I don't see from a personal standpoint? How in the world I could ever do that? And the answer is because Jesus has already apprehended you. You have all the power that you need through the Holy Spirit to be able to do what He's called you to do. So do it in His strength and not your own. Paul can go ahead because literally, right? He was literally apprehended by Jesus on the Damascus Road. He was going the wrong direction and pursuing that direction and running and putting all of his passion and energy into going the wrong way. And Jesus literally confronted him, apprehended him, turned him around and said, Paul, go that way. That's the direction through me. He stopped and he pointed him in the right direction. And Paul understands that. And that's the language he's using here. He says, because Jesus got a hold of me and I put my faith and trust in Him, now I can go in the right direction. I can continue. And one day I will know Him perfectly. And one day I will be glorified when I see Him. Until then, I keep going. Verse 13. These are obviously some well-known verses in Scripture. But brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived yet. I haven't attained the goal. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is using the verbiage and the language of a runner who is running a race in the games. And we think of many times the Olympic Games. They would have had the Olympic Games at the time that Paul was living. Maybe he's thinking of those in his own mind. But probably more likely he's referring or thinking of a set of games called the Isthmian Games that were held in Corinth. They were separate from the Olympian Games and held in other separate sets of years other than the Olympian Games. But they still had the running and all the events that you would expect. And maybe perhaps Paul had even viewed those before. There's a possibility. He was close. He'd been in Corinth. He might have actually, he talks like one that has seen these races and has seen this taking place. Interesting that these men, and at this time it was just the men mostly, very few women were involved, but they would do just like in the Olympics today. They would train and they would train and they would give up portions of their lives to be able to do their best. And do you know what their reward was in these Isthmian Games at this time? It was not a gold trophy. It was not a gold medal or plaque or anything. It was a beautiful wreath of dried celery that they would place upon the winner's head. I don't even like celery. That doesn't motivate me at all. Even if you put peanut butter on it, I still don't really like celery. It just tastes like nothing. And I'm sorry for all of you that do like celery, okay? So to put in all that effort for a wreath of dried celery is like, what? Doesn't make a lot of sense. And it shows really that their whole purpose was not for the award that they were going to get at the end this time, but it was for the honor of being the one who had run. Well, folks, we have so much better of a prize than a dried wreath of celery. And even more than a gold medal that you get in the Olympics. The prize is knowing that we'll know Jesus. First of all, we'll be in His presence. And we'll get to see Him and know Him even more wonderfully. But also, the realization that we're home. That we're with God for all eternity. And that we'll be a part of a spiritual family with no more sin, no more wickedness, and no more brokenness. All of this is the prize that we receive. And Paul here is not so much then focusing on the one who's going to win the race, but he's focusing on encouraging people to keep going, because all that are in this spiritual race are going to receive the prize. And that is relationship and dwelling with God, with Jesus, for all eternity. All of us as believers will obtain that prize. So keep going. Paul says again, verse 13, I'm not perfect. I've not arrived yet. But I do know one thing. In order to be successful, to be useful in ministry, I need to forget those things that are behind and reach forth. I am not a professional runner. I like to run. I haven't had as much time to run lately. I'm hoping that the new Dunkin' Donuts down the corner of Kentuckook may give me opportunity to run back and forth a little bit more often. I did run/walk a 5K one time. That's my claim to fame. But I've watched a lot of running in the Olympics, and those of us that enjoy watching the Olympics and the runners, you'll notice that as they get closer, I speak as one who hasn't been involved in this, but they're striving and they're pushing forward and they literally have their chest out and they are reaching, striving every inch, every aspect of their bodies toward getting across that line first. And that really is the idea here, is Paul is saying, put all of your spiritual energy into reaching forth, pressing forward. And in order to do that, you have to leave things behind. I've never seen one of these runners with a backpack on or trying to carry a set of camping equipment or whatever behind them. They have to shed as much as they can in order to be as dedicated to the race as they can. And that's a good picture of what we need to do. We all have struggles in this life. We all have pain in ways that people have hurt us, and sins and things that we wish that we would have done differently. We all do. We all have things in our life that many times discourages us from running faithfully. How about Paul? Persecuting Christians. Because of Paul's persecution, certainly there were many Christians that were put to death, that died in prison, that lost their lives. And Paul had that on his conscience. And so Paul knows, and among other things, just all of the aspects that he was involved in, pointing people to follow a set of rules that had no way to give them righteousness, and all this that Paul had done, there was a lot that he needed to set beside him to forget about in order to run the race. So I don't think anybody here has been involved with the killing of Christians, not that I'm aware of. And so, yet we have things in our lives that we think, I could never be that level of Christian because I've done this in my life. And Paul is reminding all of us, put those things behind. God can use you regardless of your past, regardless of what's happened, regardless of the evil that somebody may have done to you. And unfortunately, there's so much evil in this world today, and there's so many people that have been hurt, and some, even some Christians say, I just can't serve in that way because, Pastor Brock, you don't know the pain and the hurt and what I've been through. It's just too painful. I can't do it. And Paul says, through the power of Christ, you can forget those things that are behind. Lay them aside. Keep running. there's also another aspect of this as well. There are some people that don't get as weighed down by their failures. But we all, I think we can understand this too. We don't think of it in this context, but a lot of times we have successes in our past. Things that we look to in the past and say, I remember when God did this in my life and it was wonderful and I went on this mission trip and God worked and I was able to give the gospel and see people saved and this and that. And people talk of it as if that was the time in my life that God used me and I was glad for that. And now I'm just waiting for Jesus to return. But I still, with glory in my mind, think of those wonderful days where I was useful for God. Sometimes we have to put our successes behind too. The ways that God has used us in the past, and we look maybe even in church ministry or different things, and we say, oh, I remember how it used to be. Everything was so great, and it's just not how I remember things being now. It's harder now. We have to put that behind us too. Not that we forget those things. Always remember with gratitude how God has worked in your life. But if it is keeping you from pressing on and going forward in the race, don't keep those successes and look at what God wants you to do now and think this is somehow less than God's best. No, press on. The failures, the successes in your past, whatever is keeping you, put them aside. Forget those things. Throw them off and reach forward as a runner that is faithfully committed to winning the race. And he says again, verse 14, one of the most famous verses in our scriptures, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This mark may actually be referring to in the games. My understanding is at this time there was a marker, like a pole or something, at the end of the finish line where the runners would keep an eye on, and they would keep that mark in front of them, pressing forward, knowing that that meant that they were getting closer to the finish line. And then for the prize of the high calling, what is that prize? I've mentioned this already, but it is the final result of salvation, eternal life in a familial relationship with God. In other words, the final full experience of our relationship with God. We get to see Jesus. We get to be with Him forever in eternal glory. What a prize that is. And as we look at all the brokenness and evil and discouragement in our world today, we ought to keep that prize in front of us. That this isn't all that there is. There's so much more awaiting us. So run. Press forward with all of your strength. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The high calling here is God that has called us. The picture here is a reminder that God has called us. And this is that side of salvation. This is a reminder that God in His sovereignty calls us to salvation. And again, there's two sides to that. Because we also have a responsibility to respond to that calling. But God does the calling. Once God calls, our salvation is in His hands. We have a responsibility, but God's call comes first. And that high call that He had for us in salvation, but it's through Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. We are saved. We receive the prize because of all that Jesus has done, not by anything that we do. Well, it just seems appropriate, talking about the Olympic Games, to have an illustration about an Olympic runner. And there's all kinds. You probably have a favorite Olympic story. I don't know that this is my favorite, but it is one that fits well with what I'm trying to communicate this morning. Now, I don't know much about this individual, about his lifestyle, and about his family, whatever. But I know in this instance, this is a great illustration. And it was in the Olympics in Barcelona in 1992. I remember watching those with interest as a young man. And there was a runner that ran in things like the 400 meter and other running events like that. And he was well known and he was expected, because of his past victories, to do well, maybe obtain the gold. His name was Derek Redmond. And he was running for the British in 19... This is in 1992. He had had some difficulties. He had had some operations and things because he had strained some muscles. He had to withdraw from a contest because of some difficulties he had with his health and with his legs. In 1985, though, he broke the British record for the 400-meter race. So he had pushed through all those difficulties, and he was expected to do well in the Barcelona Olympics. He'd actually undergone five operations, including one on his Achilles tendon, less than 4 months before the games began. That is brave and courageous to go forward with that. But he did, and everybody expected things to go well. Everything seemed to be coming together for Derek Redmond. And as he started this particular race, he was running well. He settled into the blocks for the start of the semifinal race. And as he continued to go and started the race, he got off to a clean start. He was running smoothly, and then about 150 meters into the race, his right hamstring muscle tore, and he fell to the ground. And I don't know if you remember seeing the video of this, but for a minute there, he grabbed his leg and was in pain and was just laying there writhing, and all of a sudden the thought came to him, wait a minute, I'm in the Olympics. I've got to keep going. And he got up. And he slowly, even though he knew at this point with what had happened, there was no chance of him winning gold. That dream was over. His dream to finish the race was still a possibility. He said, I am going to, if at all possible, put all my effort, putting behind what has just happened, this injury, I'm going to make it across. And he ran, and the cameras focused on him, and everybody was cheering him on. And as he was going in pain, all of a sudden he heard a voice from behind him say, hey, I'm here. I'm with you. And a hand came up on his back. And it was his dad. And his dad had literally jumped over the gateway, and to the astonishment of a lot of the officials. And they were looking at it sort of like, is he supposed to do that? Would we allow that? And his dad came up beside him and helped him. And even though the officials were trying to come up and say, it's over, you're done, said no. And his dad said, leave him alone. He's going to finish the race. And he did. And if you look at that video today, it's so inspiring that he finished the course, even with Derek Redmond sobbing, as he realized, he said he was doing okay until he realized that it was his dad with him. And then he broke down in tears. He kept going. His dad let him go. Just a few meters before the end, and he crossed it on his own to the applause of 65,000 people that gave him a standing ovation. The point of that story is the point that Paul's pointing out, and that is continuing to go in the midst of difficulty. Not the one who's going to win and win the prize, but continuing on no matter what you face. And the beautiful part about that story, one of the beautiful things, is Derek's father coming up along beside him. But understand, as believers, we have Jesus with us the whole way. And we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, empowering us to finish the race. So whatever you've experienced in the past, whatever you've gone through, that you say, I can't do it, Paul, Jesus, says you can through my strength. Press on. Verse 15 and 16 then. Paul's going to remind us as well. To not be distracted from our spiritual race, yes, but also we must faithfully endure in our spiritual race. We have to endure. Don't give up. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. He's saying, not to those that are perfect. He's not referring to those like himself. He's not referring to himself as being perfect, and he's not referring to other people as being perfect. But he's saying, those that are spiritually mature, you make sure you have this attitude. You make sure you don't let anything keep you from pressing on in your ministry service. But then he says something interesting. If anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. I think what he's saying here is, in a more specific sense, If there are those of you that are saying right now, well, Paul, that's good for you, but I don't think I can do that. He says, I know it's hard. Notice how gentle he's being here with these people. He says, I know. Trust me, from somebody that was pursuing the wrong way for so many years, and God turned me around, I had a lot of time and a lot of track to make up. Paul says, I get it if you're not fully on board with what I'm saying. So I'm praying that God will show you the truth of this, what I'm telling you. And folks, we ought to have that attitude towards others. Others that haven't attained, so to speak, a level of spiritual maturity that we have, we shouldn't look at them with cynicism and disgust, disdain. But we ought to pray for them. Lord, help them. Help them to have that spiritual understanding. Help them through this difficulty to have the endurance to go on. Because in the end, there's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves to help that person. It's all the power of Jesus. But we can be encouraging, and we can help that person come alongside them. And through the power of Jesus, help them along. And so Paul says, I'm praying that God will help you. How many times recently have we prayed for someone else that we're concerned about in their spiritual walk? How many times have we lifted them to the Lord and say, Lord, I've tried everything I can. I've tried to talk with them. They just don't get it. But Lord, I know you have the power to affect them and to help them endure. So Father, please help them. Help them, as Paul says here, to reveal the right mind that they need to have. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Paul says, whatever level of spiritual maturity that you've attained unto, don't lose that. Keep going. Don't fall back. Don't be satisfied with a time in your life where God really used you and now it's like, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of all that pain and all that difficulty. I'm just going to coast and Jesus will return and we'll be okay. No, Paul says, whatever level of spiritual maturity that Jesus has brought you to so far in your life, keep going. Press on. It's important for unity. Let us all mind the same thing. Let us all be dedicated to pressing on and going forward. Whatever level of maturity we have, we need to stay unified. We need to help each other. We, as Village Chapel Baptist Church, need to look around us and realize we're all in this race together. And even as Derek Redmond's father came to him and came alongside of him, those of us, we may have to draw back a little bit, help somebody else, take the time to do that. But in unity, let's help each other press on and finish the race. Again, if you see someone stumbling, help them. Pray for them. Keep going. And help them to keep going. As Paul finishes here, he wants us, again, to be reminded that until the final resurrection day, we are all still spiritual works in progress. None of us are perfect. None of us are the perfect example, not even the pastor. But we must be willing to put the things off that keep us from pressing forward and being faithful and go, being determined, a forward focus, forward to the prize, to seek to serve God faithfully with our lives. The finish line, the reward in mind of all eternity with Jesus is in view. Keep going. We need to ask Jesus to help us keep our focus, but also know that He's going to help us till we get to that finish line one day and get to spend all eternity with Him. Father, thank You for this wonderful passage and the reminder that we can keep going. I'm sure there have been barriers, there have been hurts and difficulties that each person in here has faced. And Lord, there may be somebody, a believer in here, a member of our church, that may be close to giving up the race and just coasting. Father, help them through this to be reminded to keep going. Father, if there's, we've all had times in our lives where we've seen You work and we marvel at that, and we may feel like this time in our lives isn't as glorious or as marvelous and it discourages us. Help us to keep going. Help us to remember the prize to be with Jesus for all eternity and to know Him more perfectly. and to be motivated by that, and to so press on, go forward. Thank you for the power to do that through the Holy Spirit. Consider this for a few moments. Think on these things. Are you being distracted or discouraged? Have you slowed your pace? Take that to God this morning. Ask Him to help you. He can give you a renewed vision. That is my prayer for everyone in this church, as Paul did, that He would show you the importance of this truth and help you to keep going. And for those of you that may not know Jesus, may not have even started your race yet, I'd like to introduce you to Him and how you can know Him and have that prize of eternal life with Jesus forever. Think on these things as Linda plays.